3, 2, 1, 0. From the studios of WORQ in Wisconsin, this is the Stand Up for the Truth podcast. Today's issues, overlooked headlines, and biblical observations, equipping the remnant around the globe. Got your sword handy? This is Stand Up for the Truth.
Fresh new podcast today, Tuesday, April 9, 2024. And we welcome our online listeners, Q90FM.com/listen. I'm Crash Connell. Mary Danielson is here. And Mary, we survived the eclipse.
We did.
Back to normal.
Yeah, it is. And the moon was up last night, and all things continue until they don't, right? Yes, great to be here. Another week to serve the Lord. Crash said it's April the 9th. My guest today is Bill Perkins, founder and executive director of Compass International. They host the Stealing the Mind conferences. Bill has been walking with Jesus a long time, and I'm really looking forward to chatting with him about the state of the world, and I want to talk about the ministry. They've been around for a long season as well, and so much to talk about. So my scripture this morning is Psalm 4, 6 through 8. There are many who say, "Who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, you alone have the words of life, and your loving kindness is better than life itself. And you alone show us what is good and perfect and what nourishes our soul in these difficult days. Lord, you do sustain us, and we are so grateful, because as we look at the landscape in this world, there's not much to sustain anyone. And so, Lord, who do we have but you? Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, because, Lord, if you are for us, who can be against us? And you hear our cries, and you take us to that rock that is higher. Thank you for your promises that we can dwell in safety and sleep in safety. We lift a bill to you this morning and ask, and we thank you, Lord, for his faithfulness for so long. We ask that you bless and protect him and his loved ones, and continue to open doors for Compass, for ministry, and to meet all their needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Bill Perkins is with me today. He's the executive director of Compass International, and he hosted the first Stealing the Mind Bible Conference in Vail in August of 1993. He moved to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho to take a job with Koinonia House, November of 1993. And then he founded Compass International the following February and took his first Israel trip. Now, since its beginning, Compass has organized over 50 Stealing the Mind Bible Conferences and over 50 Israel trips. He's published several Steel on Steel books, and he co-wrote Forewarning with Tim LaHaye, Dave Hunt, and John Wolvard in 1998, some of my favorite Bible teachers who are with the Lord now. Bill, you've had such a long and busy and fruitful season in the Lord, conferences, Israel trips, compass.org. Welcome to Stand Up for the Truth today.
Well, it's great to be here. Great to hear what y'all are up to and doing in Wisconsin. Amazing.
Yes, in Wisconsin, and spring is finally here. Just talking about all the things that Compass has accomplished over the years, the Lord has been good to you guys. Tell us about that recently concluded conference, the Stealing the Mind conference from March, I believe. Over 20,000 watched the conference from 10 different countries. Any highlights stand out to you from this past conference?
Our idea for a conference, a Bible conference, is to get people who want to learn their Bible and be armored up to be used by God and the things that he allows in their lives are all around them. And so we try to bring in the best and the brightest speakers from all over the United States into one spot and have them go at it. We call it Stealing the Mind, especially on Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And so we have one guy speak on one topic and another on another. And we do a broad brush of apologetics, Bible prophecy, signs of the times, finances, different things, through the years. And we've been doing it for 31 years. Mm-hmm. It's amazing that God has kept us rolling all this time. And anybody that's been in a ministry for 30-something years knows that it has to be God doing it. Because, you know, yes. In fact, we never thought about how long we were going to be doing it when we started it.
Right,
you
know? Right. Yeah, boy, I got to agree with that.
Interesting. But we've had some really good speakers through the years. On our website, there's a list that it says past speakers. Mm-hmm. It links to all of their basically all of their things that mm-hmm. presentations that they've made, and when I look through that list, it's, you know, as you just said, some of your people that you liked are gone now, and I'm starting to think, well, okay, they're dying off. It's amazing how long we've been doing this.
It is, and I have that list in front of me, and I just want to name some of these people. It's a very long list. Alan Keyes, Andy Woods, Barrett Jost, David Hocking, David Regan, Eric Barger, Gary Kaa, Jeff Childers, J.B. Hickson, Hal Lindsey, John Ankerberg, Ken Ham, Kirk Cameron, Marlon Maddox, wow, Pat Boone, Ray Comfort, Ray Youngin, Russ Miller, Robert Congdon. It goes on and on. Tim LaHaye, T.A. McMahon. Many of these people I know, some I do not have had, I have not had the privilege of meeting yet, but yes, and I love how they can click on these and they can hear, so they can hear the sessions going back many years.
Yes, you know, what we've tried to do is, our job is to teach the Bible, and we kind of, by the grace of God, He has allowed us to be a self-sufficient ministry. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain that, other than that He's lifted up some people to help us and to do what we do. And pardon me for trying to turn this off.
It's okay.
You know how you have you're on your computer and somebody starts sending you like 1,000 different emails because mm-hmm. they're trying to flood your account and all that? Mm-hmm. That's what's going on. Yeah. I'm just going to turn it off. Hope I don't need it.
Yeah, mine does that too.
Anyway, so there we go. Now, back at the ranch.
Yes.
There, it's gone. Now, where were we?
Yes, we were talking about the speakers and equipping people for the times that we're living in, and the people that you've had on certainly
yeah, there you
do
go.
That.
So anyway, these speakers that they're so good and they're so solid, and the people have responded. They come and they bring their Bibles and mm-hmm. they bring their friends, and they spend the time doing nothing but listening and being taught by on topics that they normally don't get in church.
Right.
And that's what, and we call that steel on steel and just let it rip. And it's a good day. We used to do a 3-day conference back in the day when I was younger, Friday through Sunday. But then through the years, we've just really found out the best way to do it is to pack in as many as we can in a day setting and let people come in. And, it's just amazing. We don't charge for our, you can download and watch them for free when, or you can, we have a thing called Compass TV that you can go on and watch. We put up a new one every week for free and for people to see it. And we've kept it. Back in my entrepreneurial days before I started into ministry, I had started a couple of TV stations and I learned a little bit about, you know, the value of previous, programs and things like that. So I kept all of our presentations, our video presentations through the years. And now it's become really a great asset that we can go back and look at it. And things, you know, like in Bible prophecy, if it's accurate, Bible prophecy doesn't change, you know, so right. Things that were talked about in the 90s are still applicable today. So, So we're able to use our resources from 30 something years of conferences. And sometimes we do, two or three a year. We're down to just one now since COVID. But again, it's the purpose is to just be able to give sort of armor for people to learn things that they're not going to learn in church, mm-hmm. and then be able to be used by God in the lives of those around them. And it's amazing. 31 years.
Yeah.
Go God.
Yeah, no kidding. It's wonderful. You had been taking Grand Canyon trips, Israel trips. Anything on the horizon for either of those?
Well, yeah, we're still doing our Grand Canyon trips. Okay. We've got three dates this June for our Grand Canyon. Two of them are sold out, and we have about 10 or 15 slots on the last bus in June. And we do that because apologetics, defending the accuracy of the Bible, is heavy on apologetics, and the, between evolution and all the things that are going on, that trying to be taught the false Satan's fake stuff that's out there, and he's had control of the schools and things. So for us to come out and have one or two of our topics in each of our conferences on apologetics, we also found that if we go to take a group to Grand Canyon, we can show them that this is God's testament of a global flood. We go down there and spend just a weekend. We fly down on Wednesday and come back on Sunday, and you just are amazed at what you'll see there. Russ Miller is our teacher that we use, and he just does a great job. And you come away with being able to scientifically defend a worldwide flood 4,500 years ago. Yeah. And realistically, out of that, you also learn that you can scientifically defend a Earth that's only 6,000 years old. And that's important for people today, because they're not getting that, and certainly not in school. And, and then a lot of the churches, even good churches, sort of stay away from dealing with evolution and that kind of thing. But when you go there and you lay out the, what the Bible says, and you're looking at it, it is amazing what you learn. Yeah. Now, on Israel, it's even more impacting, of course, when you go there and you walk where Jesus walked and see what he saw, and all the sites are still there, and they're just a little dusty these days, but it brings your Bible alive. It instead of going from a long time ago in a faraway place, you know, it brings it to the here and now, and especially with Israel being so important in Bible prophecy. The whole Bible revolves around Israel, and the New Testament basically does, without it, if you understand how to tie it into the Old Testament. And when we go there and we see Galilee, and we see the Garden of Gethsemane, and we see the Mount of Olives, we see where the temple was and would be built again, and when we see where Jesus ascended, you know, where he's born in Bethlehem, and where he ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives, and he's coming back to that same spot on the second coming, you know, it's an amazing thing. It changes the way you see your and view your Bible. It becomes real and very impacting. And we found through the years that the kids that go on these trips, and we don't have too many of them, mainly it's adults that are in their later years that have the money and the time to go, but those that do are able to bring their kids and all, those kids are, it changes them. It makes them where they can grow knowing that the Bible is true and that it's accurate, and they can see it as opposed to just hearing about it.
Yeah. Wow. And do you have any trips coming up? Because I think most trips are on hold right now. There's just, it's
yeah,
just too much
we
going
did.
On.
We've done, and actually I've been this, I was on my 65th trip. You mentioned 50. That's I guess I'll have to update the website.
Wow.
But, we were on our 65th trip going to Israel this past fall, and on the way over there, after we had been to Rome and Egypt and Athens and Ephesus and Corinth and all these places, we were in the sea headed to Israel, and the war broke out, and the ship turned around. They didn't want to take a $1 billion ship into a war zone, and so we didn't get to go to Israel this year, and we've not planned another trip because our sources tell us right now it's not done over there. Israel's, you know, the Bible says it's going to be a burdening stone in the latter days, and so it could get kind of messy. I know some people I talked to a guy yesterday who was over there with a group of 18 people, and he said he's one of two groups that were over there.
I suppose.
And he had 50 people signed up, and 18 ended up going, you know, because of the concern over everything. But that was to be expected, and we try to be good stewards. And right now, there's so much going on here in the United States. We have a weekly e-news that we send out, and out of that, we communicate, you know, to 50,000 people, which is not a lot with the way that if you're on social media and have these million accounts, you know, and stuff. But our people are very into their Bibles, and they're very, I don't know how you'd say, they're mature. They're more mature normally than a normal group. There's only a few people in each church around that'll want to go to our conference, that'll want to spend a day studying their Bible in detail all day long with, you know, six different, mm-hmm. seven different speakers or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we have we're sort of a little niche ministry that's lasted for a long time, but we just, to do that is, there's only a certain number of people that yeah. have God's laid it on their heart. You know, most people are busy. You know, everybody has a different type of life. Some people are it doesn't matter. The point is, to a compass person is someone who loves the Lord, loves to learn, and loves to just dive in, steal on their Bible, and show me. You show me your verse, I'll show you my verse, and we'll learn the Bible. You know, that's kind of where we've been for the last 30, 31 years.
Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. Now, you have, Compass is doing a mailing coming up soon, I understand. And it says, I have one in front of me, two huge worldwide events, and it talks about millions missing and billions die. And so this is what people can expect next on the agenda, biblically speaking, prophetically speaking, the rapture, just before the rapture, just after the rapture. And what, how many of these are you sending out? And if people want to get a lot of them to give out, what can they do with that?
Well, what it is that we believe we're creeping up on the end of this age, and that it will conclude with rapture, and that the Bible gives us a lot of signs of what happens right after the rapture. And they're right there in the Bible. We can read them. And so you make a list of that. And that happens just after the rapture, so that you can then see what you should be seeing just before the rapture. And we're so close that we feel like we need to tell people what's dead ahead, what to expect, and it could happen this year, next year, year after, certainly probably within the next 5 or 10 years. You mm-hmm. know, this church age is going to conclude. It's going to conclude with rapture. And when rapture happens, the whole world is going to change immediately, and nothing is going to be the same, and it's going to be terrible. So what we've done is we decided we're going to send out 1 million of these mailers, of these flyers, to random people all over the United States and some over in Europe also. And we're sending out 50,000 a month. We sent out 50,000 in January, 50,000 in February, 50,000 in March, and our mailing for April is going another 50,000. I think it's going this week. It could be the first of next week. And you know, it's direct into people's mailboxes. That's what we know how to do. And we get this information and to wake people up as to what's dead ahead, because this is going to happen whether they know it or not. And also, it's to plant a seed. If they're not a Christian, mm-hmm. they can still get saved after the rapture. And that's very important, because the Bible talks about innumerable number of people that get saved. They have to give their lives up, but they go to heaven. And that's important for people to know, that they still have they can still go be with the Lord for eternity, mm-hmm. you know, and give them hope in that. So when you look at that list, that happens just after rapture, I'll just read through it real quickly. It's, we know that there's going to be a 7-year peace treaty. Well, if there's going to be a 7-year peace treaty, we should be hearing discussions about world peace. And that's kind of what we're hearing right now. It's, people are talking about, how they're going to have peace on the earth and this kind of thing. It says, we're going to have world government right after the rapture. Well, we should see a movement toward world government. And that's what we're seeing mm-hmm. with the WEF and the WHO and all those groups, you know, trying to have one world government. It says that Russia and Iran and Turkey invade right after rapture, or invade Israel, come right after them. And so we should see those nations coming together, and certainly, and that's what you see today. You see Russia, and you see Iran, and you see mm-hmm. Turkey. You see all these nations coming together against Israel, and they're getting ready to invade them, just like the Bible says. It says severe inflation is going to happen right after rapture. Well, we should start to be seeing inflation then before rapture. See, it's starting to happen. Well, that's what we're seeing. It was supposed to be starvation, terrible starvation right after rapture. We should be seeing food problems before the rapture, and that's what we're seeing, the distribution, food distribution. The mark of the beast is a famous line out of Revelation, you know, the 666 and all that. coming together. Nobody buys or sells. That happens after the rapture. We should see movement toward that before the rapture. We should be able to see the world getting ready for this electronic monitoring that nobody can buy or sell unless they're connected to this system, to this mark. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing the digital money coming in and all that. One of the things is the Christian martyrs. We see that right after the rapture. People that missed the rapture, maybe they got our flyer, I don't know, but they won't go along with the system and they're getting killed everywhere. Well, we should see Christian persecution happening today, and that's what we're happening. It's been kind of covered up, but around the world, people are being killed, being stuffed. You talk about ministries, they have a lot of them have had their accounts frozen, and their freedoms are being curtailed. Their ability to witness is being curtailed, and churches are being more careful about what they say and do. And some of them have closed, you know, and because they can't be bold. And it's really interesting. But that's comes after the rapture, so that's what we're seeing before the rapture. We're seeing that today. Just this morning, there was a headline that in my hometown here that some lunatic was getting ready to shoot up a church this past Sunday. And they caught him on Saturday getting ready. This is the reality of the world we live in. The Bible warned us that this was coming. The other next thing on the list here is total loss of freedom. Well, if you're not careful, you'll lose your access to everything. They've closed bank accounts. They've closed social media accounts. They've closed all kinds of things of people who are telling the truth. And we're moving into a lack of freedom. They're talking about they won't let you fly unless you have a mask on. And next is going to be unless you have a shot or whatever, you know. And so these things that we're seeing today are signs that we're close to rapture, because right after rapture, that's what happens is you lose all your freedom. And then the number of people dying, and this is a fascinating thing. The Bible says that in right after rapture, one-fourth of the earth dies within a year or two right after the rapture. One-fourth of us, 2 billion people. Now, the impact of that is beyond belief, but then another 2 billion people die before the mid part of the tribulation. So you've got half of the world's population dead by the middle of the seven-year tribulation that follows the rapture. Well, what are we seeing today? And get this. It says that one of the reasons they die is because of drugs, pharmakia. It's the word in our Bible says sorcery, but if you look it up in the Greek, it's the word pharmakia, which is where we get our word pharmacy. And there's even a penalty, you know, one of the things on here of, at the bottom of the list is the world vaccine deception. Is in the Bible, and people don't know that. So we're trying to tell people that this was warned ahead of time. This worldwide vaccine distribution has been prophesied by God, and it says that this nation that sent out all these vaccines is behind all this, is wiped out, which I think is the United States, of course, and right after rapture. And the other on the list there was the Israel burdens the world, and we're seeing Israel burdening the world. It's supposed to become a burdensome stone to the whole world, and we're seeing that starting coming together right now. So these are not all of the things that are going to happen right after the rapture, but it's a list that we can easily see, and that we can see all of this coming together. So we're moving up very close to being out of here, to an exhilarating exit that is going to be like nothing we can imagine as we depart this planet at the end of this church age, and God goes back to dealing 100% with the Jews on the forefront. That's where everything moves to, from being the church is the primary concern of God right now, to after rapture, he goes back to Israel, and Israel will be the primary concern, and he will deal with them during the seven-year tribulation. So,
it's
an exciting thing. So this flyer, we're sending out a million of these things. Next month, we hope to send out 100,000. And this is by the mail. This is not cheap. We print these things, and we've written them up, and you can go online and actually see this flyer that we're sending out. If you go to compass.org /BAR, like a local bar.
Okay.
That's just for you to remember it. But if you do /BAR, you can go and look at the flyer, and you can actually, there, you can order one for yourself or 10 to give away for free.
Mm-hmm.
We want people to know we're that close. We're so convinced that this thing's coming to a close that the last thing we want to do is to be raptured with a lot of resources in the bank that we could have spent warning people.
Right.
So we're going to go. We're every month we're trying to warn people this thing is coming to a close. It could be a few years or it could be just a few seconds.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah.
But we want people to know what's dead ahead.
And Bill, are people able to actually print one from the website?
Sure. You can look at it on the website. You can print it. You can download it. You can do anything you want. I mean, that's why we give away our videos is because we want people to have the information they need. Our job is to armor up people. That's mm-hmm. sort of our ministry mantra, you know, to be used by God in these last days. And, so God takes care of the cash and we're just trying to be used mm-hmm. by him in the lives
stewards.
Of those around us
that
we can reach.
Things that will last eternally. The other thing I like about this is just a two-sided, so it's a very quick thing. You can print them out. You can give them away. But you have a link here, compass.org/30. Watch the entire Bible in 30 minutes. And now we only have a couple minutes here. Speaking of winding down in the first half, we only have a couple minutes before we have to go to a break. But tell us a little bit about that because I have a question for you about the narrator. Do you know who narrates the Bible in 30 minutes? Who is that?
That's Ashley Day. He was my pastor back 30 years ago when I did this thing, 25 years ago when we did it. I wrote this out. There's a bookmark right above that called 70 Weeks of Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we had printed those. It's a fascinating story how we ended up printing 80,000 of those by accident.
I have some at home. I have some at home from way back, and I've kept them all these years
exactly.
because I love these bookmarks.
We had so many people asking us, can you do a video explaining this bookmark because there's so much on it?
Oh.
So we did basically this bookmark initially to try to explain the 70 weeks of Daniel. As it turned out, it was sort of an overview of the Bible in 30 minutes. And we thought, well, it's probably more likely to use that as an evangelistic tool, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we do. We point people to that so that they see that the whole Bible, a lot of people don't know what's in the Bible, and 30 minutes sounds like a time that they could watch it and get a big overview. Then they know when they read certain verses where to plug them in and how it fits in the overall scheme.
Well, and it's great because it's an evangelistic tool also. I've been watching it, and I think it's so well done. And people listening might say, the entire Bible in 30 minutes? I don't think so. No, it really is really worth your time. And that's what's on the flip side of this flyer, the 70 Weeks of Daniel bookmark. Some of you are familiar with that. You can send these out. There's address on there, room for address. But highly recommend these two huge worldwide event flyers that Compass is sending out to people so that they know what is next on the prophecy timeline. So we thank you for that. Bill, we're talking to Bill Perkins from Compass International, compass.org, author of Steel on Steel books, and also a book called The List, a Christian historical novel by Buck Storm and Bill Perkins. And I want to talk to Bill about that more as we go to the second half. The Steel on Steel books, very interesting collection of entries in these books. We'll take those apart when we come back. I hope you will stay with us for this next half hour. And standupforthetruth.com, you can sign up for a weekly podcast digest with your email via your email inbox. On the top menu bar, click subscribe, enter your first name and email address. And we also love feedback from our listeners at comments at standupforthetruth.com. So if anything, you have any thoughts on what we talk about from day to day on the podcast, let us know. Send us a comment. So we will be back in 2 minutes with more from Bill Perkins, compass.org. Stay tuned.
Feedback, questions, and topic suggestions are always appreciated. email us at comments@standupforthetruth.com.
Welcome back to Stand Up for the Truth for Tuesday, April the 9th. We are speaking with Bill Perkins of Compass International. They've been around a long time doing a lot of great stuff when it comes to encouraging people and equipping people to know what lies ahead in Bible prophecy. Compass.org. Also, the Bible in 30 minutes. Compass.org/30. And that's a great audio that you can pass that around so people have a basic understanding of scripture and of prophecy. So, Bill, we want to talk about the books, Steel on Steel. There are five of them. You have many, many topics in there. You're not afraid to take on some tough questions. I understand now you told us what that means, Steel on Steel. How did this series come about? What was the thing that caused you to want to write this and to give people all these different topics to understand and to give them something to think about?
Well, it started out, I was writing once a month. I would write an email newsletter, and I would pick a topic and write something on the topic. And then that would be our communication. And we were moving toward email as a way from getting away from postage because it was so expensive. And as I wrote these things every month, I saved them. And by the time we got to 2018, right in there or so, I'd had a lot of topics, and I just thought, well, I could put them together in one book, you know, and we did that. And then after that book did so well, people liked it so much, then we did another one, mm-hmm. and then another one, another. So all these come from my weekly, now okay. weekly Bible study that we do, or the weekly, we call it Compass E-News. It's free. You can sign up for it. You don't have any pop-up screens on our website, and you know, you don't have to pay us anything. If you want to learn the Bible for free, here's the place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, these topics are topics that, again, that rarely are talked about in churches. And, you know, we're a parachurch ministry. We come alongside of a church and try to help armor their congregation, you know. So we take on these things that are kind of taboo in the church, you know. So, you know, like what birth control and cancer being linked, you know, that was a chapter in book two, and 10 signs were in the last days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People don't generally talk about Bible prophecy much in churches, but we do that. Another one, why asking Jesus into your heart won't save you. I mean, people have all their life, so you got to ask Jesus into your heart. You know, he's knocking at the door of your heart. You got to open up, let him in. And that's not what saves you. And so we go through the scriptural pieces of what salvation is, and we go into depth of those things. We explain dispensational theology. Dispensations are a specific way to look at the Bible to make sense out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for instance, in the Gospels, Jesus said to the people and the Jews that he was talking to before the cross, he said, if you don't forgive, the Father in heaven is not going to forgive you. Well, that's sort of all of a sudden, gosh, you got to forgive or I might not go. Is there somebody I forgot to forgive? What's the deal here? But yet we live in the church age post-cross, and Paul says, forgive as you have been forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a different application. Our instructions are different in the church age than a lot of instructions that Jesus gave the Jews before the cross when he was on the planet. So there's no contradiction in scripture. It was true when Jesus said it at the time because they were under the law, but we're not. We're under grace, and we're in the church age. And Paul is our apostle that is teaching us in a different time frame, a different group, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us that they didn't have. And we have a capacity for love and forgiveness and understanding that these people didn't have. So we have a whole different dispensation or different time period in which we live. And you need to understand those time periods to properly understand your Bible. So I would write about these things and write about things like Santa Claus and why that's not a good idea, you know, and is retirement biblical?
Mm-hmm.
Things like that people don't really capture out of the Bible. Is repentance necessary for salvation? You know, questions that we just put these things out and then look at what the Bible says and we have learned early on, I have been fearfully taught or whatever, but when you teach the Bible, there's a stricter judgment on people who teach the Bible to be accurate. And I take that very seriously. Mm-hmm. And I try my best to make sure that everything that comes out of here stands the test of a scriptural test of that you can use it and depend on it. And mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong, you know, mm-hmm. that with mm-hmm. what we're teaching. Another one, for instance, was Jesus crucified on Friday or Thursday, you know. Those are the little things that don't normally pop out of a sermon, maybe a little bit in Sunday school or something, but we do our whole ministry on these things, and our weekly e-news that we send out, we talk about these topics, and then I've saved them through the years, and we're starting to put together book 6 right now from our most recent e-news that we send out. Mm-hmm. And you can go online at compass.org and sign up for it. And like I said, we've got about 50,000 people that read it every week and that actually open and read it every week. And it's a group of people who love the Lord, love to learn and love their Bibles. And it's fascinating to be in the middle of a dispensational change and in the middle of a time that goes from the church age to going back to Israel, because we're winding up one and getting ready for the next one. And there's as I said, an exhilarating exit ahead.
Yes.
That people need to know that it is close. We're getting there.
Yeah, we really, really are. In book 1, you open up with 10 signs we're in the last days, and we've covered some of these already. But I want to talk about increase of knowledge a little bit, because the volume of knowledge being generated just absolutely boggles the mind. Volume of knowledge is doubling every 12 hours as opposed to every 100 years. And when we look at kilobytes, okay, I don't know when you got a computer. Mine was in the early 90s. 2 kilobytes is an email, but now we're talking terabytes here, which is 250,000 photos or 250 movies, 6.5 million document pages, which is 1,300 physical filing cabinets. 240 terabytes is the Library of Congress, which is 30 million books. And then when we move up to exabytes, all words ever spoken by man, 5 exabytes. And then 1 petabyte is the equivalent of 20 million filing cabinets. So, Bill, it's just been, someone has their foot on the accelerator. The fact that we can quantify every word spoken by man boggles the mind by itself. What do you think about? Where does the Bible talk about knowledge increasing, and what is the significance of that in these times?
Well, Daniel prophesied it, and I think it's Daniel 11 or something, or 12, but it talks about that knowledge will be increased. And it's, as you said, it's multiplying. It's another sign of the time. That could have been on my list of the prophecies, you know, that we have to watch for. But all of this has switched from paper and, you know, from walking and riding a horse from one place to the next and paper transactions to digital. And once the computer came and the internet on top of that, it ushered in a whole new age of being able to have information in front of you that you normally wouldn't have. You know, I can sit on my computer and click, and I can look at a computer in Australia or England mm-hmm. or France or whatever, you know, and in an instant. And this has been going on now for quite a while. I remember mm-hmm. on one of my Israel tours, I was in downtown Jerusalem, and I needed to go to the ATM, and you have a different, they have shekels and we have dollars, of course, and I was going to get some dollars out of at some shekels out of my account, and I just multiplied in my head and tried to get the money out, and it said not available, you know, right there on the ATM in downtown, and this was in the 90s. And yeah. so I realized my error, and so I redid it and asked for the correct amount, and here the money came out. Now I was halfway around the world mm-hmm. in the 90s, and the computer was telling me that I didn't have enough money in my account on the other side of the world,
yeah.
I mean, to do the transaction I had requested. Mm-hmm. Now, whoever gets control of that, especially in this latter day, the evil person that gets control of that will have control of the world. And we can now easily see how that can happen. There was I had a commentary. I've since misplaced it. I hadn't found it lately, but I had an old commentary back from the turn of the century around 1900. And they were trying to explain Revelation 13:16 about the mark of the beast. And they said, probably what you'll have is you'll go in a bank and there'll be somebody inside the door. And if you're in the system, they'll give a nod and then you can cash your check.
Yes.
You know, but if you're not in the system, then they'll say no and you can't cash it. That's how they were trying to figure out how that would work.
I have that book. I know I read that too. I have that book and I had to smile when I saw that. I don't remember what it was from, but I thought, oh boy. Oh boy. Think, go forward 100 years or so and then we'll talk.
Yeah, really. Because we're seeing it come and it just is a fascinating what's going on. There's another one I wrote about the Shekinah glory, and that's fascinating from a standpoint that the Holy Spirit is going to leave the earth. He's going to depart, and since the Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit is Jesus, and God the Father is all the one, and when he lives in us, when he leaves, we must obviously leave with him because the Bible says that he will never leave us. So we go when he goes. And he has to leave so that the Jesus, the Son, can come back. And in the Old Testament, he left once before. And in Ezekiel, it talks about that. And the real interesting passage, and I don't have it off the top of my head which one it is. I think it's 16 or something. But anyway, I'll just paraphrase it. What happens is when the Holy Spirit left the first time, he was in the Holy of Holies, and it says he lifted up and departed the Holy of Holies and went to the front part of the temple and stopped and paused there. And then it didn't say how long he paused, but then it said then from there he left and he went to the eastern gate and he paused there. This is the eastern gate of the Temple Mount up on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem. And then from there, after the pause, he goes to the top of the Mount of Olives and pauses. And then after that, he heads and departs straight up to heaven. So his departure was in four stages or in stages, I guess you could say. And we don't know how long they are or anything, but if you look at today, it seems like in 2020 something happened. I don't know what, but it's like God's loosening up and allowing the Holy Spirit to get ready to leave again, you know, and he's allowing some things to go on that the restrainer has not allowed in the past. And the final part of the puzzle here is when the rapture at the end, when he leaves and we all go with him. But we're starting to see this starting to happen, you know. This is, like I said, since 2020, everybody will say things are different. I mean, Satan's out of the closet and he's not lurking in the shadows anymore. He's just blatantly doing things. I mean, he's doing things that we can't, despicable acts that are just, that we can't even imagine 20 years ago going on. You know, what they're doing to our kids, what they're doing to our government, what they're doing to our money, what they're doing to everything. So anyway, that's one of the steel on steel in one of our books that we have. It's called The Shekinah Glory. And by the way, you can look up any of this online. If you were to go to compass.org and you just type in the word glory, G-L-O-R-Y, you can see the article. Just read it there. It's chapter. It's out of the books, but the books come from the articles that are on the web.
Okay.
It's some groups. Some people like to read books, and some people like to read it off the web. You know, and all. But anyway, that's where all these things came from, and the books. People seem to like them. I'm amazed. I was talking to a lady yesterday whose Bible study is doing one of the books, and she was asking me some questions about stuff, and she said, "You can't find this stuff anywhere else." I said, "Yeah,
we're
a niche market."
It is, and it what I like about them is that it comes across as these are questions that people actually are probably thinking, but they don't know where to go for the answers. It almost reads like mail that you may have gotten over the years of questions that people have, And that's what I like about them, because they are very different topics. You talk about book two, you talk about the Bible and capitalism, Christians and divorce, in retirement, you mentioned that, The Path to Petra. This is just to whet people's appetites. Book three, The Pool of Siloam, you talk about that. The Flood, Fact or Fiction. Are there restrooms in heaven? I'm not even going to go there, Bill. should Christians celebrate Easter? And there are about, 20 or so segments in each of these books. Book four, A Peek Behind the Name of God. Why God's Spirit Must Depart Prior to the Tribulation. You talked about that restraining force. And I do believe that God is giving people over to things, that God's hand of protection is being removed from the earth. I agree completely with that. And you wanted to talk about something specific in the time we have left, about the vaccine and the things that are happening to people that no one saw coming. It is so tragic, Bill. It is so tragic to hear young people in the prime of life are being cut down by strange side effects and diseases. You wanted to talk about one of those. What was that thing about the effect from this jab that you wanted to talk about?
Well, there's in the Bible, in Revelation, I believe that America is talked about in the Bible. And I've written about it. You can watch a video or the articles that I've written online. But basically, I believe that the United States is the country. There's a country in the Bible, an end days country, that's the main financial country of the world. And it's a mingled people nation, and that it's a country that sends out ambassadors all over. It's the financial center of the world. It's bordered by many waters. It takes space shots. It mounts up to heaven. It has all these different things, and it's a long way from Israel. And because of this nation, when it has a mother nation, you know, which not too many nations over in the Middle East have, but this nation, it meets its demise in Revelation 18, and it talks about it. And at the very end of the chapter, it says that the light and the lamp will not shine in you any longer. The voice of the bridegroom, this is verse 23 of 18, the bride will not be heard in you any longer, and your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery, which is the Greek word pharmakia, which is the word we use for drugs. So you could read it and say the earth, all the people were deceived by your drugs. And this is one of the reasons God wipes out this nation. You know, so our drug situation, that this vaccine, this worldwide vaccine, that's worldwide, by the way, not just for the country, but the whole world was deceived by these drugs. Now, we're finding out now from the morticians that when they try to take the blood out of bodies and drain the blood so that they can put the fluid, formaldehyde fluid, in there, that they're having trouble getting the blood out because they're stopped up. All the veins and arteries are stopped up with these little clots, and they're not blood clots. They're tissue clots. They're self-replicating tissue clots. Now, people who have been vaccinated have gotten new instructions injected into their body. And if you've had a vaccine, now you can mitigate this. There are ways to do that they're coming up with. But if you don't know it, you're ripe for a stroke or a heart attack or whatever. And that's one of the things that happens. These little self-assembling clots are coming up all through your body. And that's why you're having the strokes in your head, because your veins are smaller there. But they pulled out, 10, 20 inch clots out of people who died that have just in their veins, in the arteries, and it's stopping up everything. Now, we don't know if it's 20% of the people who took the shot are having this problem, or if it's everybody, or if it's 50% or whatever, but people that have taken these drugs are dying from this. And if 80% of the world has already been infected with this new instructions that overrides our own DNA, that's in there, our God-given instructions, and it overrides where we have defenses that God built up in our bodies to defend us against cancer, for instance, and it hijacks that and keeps it off to the side so that it doesn't work, and we're seeing all these cancers coming out. Mm. We're seeing these tissue clots being built. We're seeing all these things because of drugs, because of this. Our great men of this nation, or you might call them not great men, but the evil men of the nation, the evil merchants putting money before God, that kind of thing, that worship money and want to take over the world, et cetera, they have injected 80% of the world with this new instructions. And we don't even know to the extent of where all this is going one day. But if we're close to rapture, part of that 2 billion people that are going to die within the first year or two is probably from these vaccines, you know, from what God is, from what the Bible has talked to us about, you know, that happens during that time. So I just believe that the more we know about the Bible and where we are, the more important it is that we can tell people this is what's coming. Rapture is coming. We have this age is, the Bible says, will end in the twinkling of an eye, and things will change, and then it's all over. It is a mess after that. You go back and read Revelation 18 about what happens in the United States, and, you know, it's a mess. Matthew 24 talks about what happens before the rapture when it says that there'll be buying and selling and weddings and building and all this kind of stuff and an economy. But then Revelation 18 says the wedding stops, the electricity stops, the factory stops, it all stops in an instant, and that's the post-rapture. So it all is right there in the Bible. All you have to do is read it, and you can see right where we are, and you can see how close we are. And our little thing that we're sending out, we're trying to warn people that this is coming, and we're every month we're taking everything we got and letting people know we're that close.
Yeah, we really, really are. And the world is really one crisis away from, we are one crisis away of handing our lives over to the globalists. It could be a food crisis, an energy crisis. It could be the breakout of a world war. I mean, the world is not going to be operating within normal parameters pretty soon. And then, Bill, we have that power of fear in controlling the masses. And that, to me, is one of the biggest takeaways of 2020 is how can we control people through fear? But we don't want to be fearful. All these things are coming. We have just a couple minutes left, Bill. How can we encourage people to not be afraid of all these potential things that could just derail everything?
Well, I think that Matthew 24 and Luke 17 tells us specifically that there's going to be an economy right up until rapture. There's going to be buying and selling right up to rapture. There's going to be building right up to rapture. There are going to be wedding events, social events, right up until rapture. So I really believe that although there, you know, you may see money change and things do that, but that we're not going to run out of food before rapture. I don't believe that we will, based on what I see in the Bible. And then in Revelation 18, right after rapture, it says, you know, come out of her, my people. And then right after that, talks about what happens. All the food problems start, all the electricity stops, that kind of stuff. So we don't have to worry as believers. But right now, the main thing is we want to tell people what's going on so that if they don't get raptured, they can still go to heaven. And that's what we're trying to warn people with. And if people are listening to this, they need not to worry about themselves. They're going to heaven. When we die, we win. When we depart this earth, whether it's by rapture or just natural death, we win. We go and we don't want to come back, and we get our new bodies, and we're with the Lord for eternity, and we're happy about that. It's great. But we have family members around. We have another little booklet called Millions Missing. You leave it around your house or wherever, and if all of a sudden everybody's missing, they can read about what to do next, you know. And it's a free booklet you can also get. So anyway, our thing is to, God's got this, and God loves us, and God has armored us, and He says comfort one another with all these things, so these words. Mm-hmm. When you see these things coming on us, comfort one another, because that means it's getting close. Yeah. We're comforted that God is going to rescue us out of here. And it even uses the word rescue us, who will rescue us from the wrath of God. Because the wrath of God is coming, and God's going to rescue us first.
Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah, and it is encouraging. It's like a two-edged sword. We want to warn people and tell them what's coming, and that can be frightening. But if people aren't in the Lord, maybe they should be scared a little bit, because things are going to get very bad. And what would, who would we be if we didn't warn people? And yet there's the flip side of that. To those who are in Jesus, there is that incredible blessed hope. So we are looking forward to that. We're seeing the world come together in incredible ways, even over just an eclipse. So thank you, Bill Perkins. We so appreciate your time and the ministry of Compass.org and all that you guys have done over the years. Thank you so much for being with me, and we will have to do this again sometime.
Mary, it was great talking to you. Thank you.
God bless you. All right, tomorrow on Stand Up for the Truth, there will be a replay. And Thursday, I have John Hopper. He wrote Giving Jesus Away, and we're going to talk about the joy that you can have in giving away your faith. Friday, J.B. Hickson. We're going to talk about deception and strong delusion on Friday with J.B. I hope you will be with me for the rest of the week, the Fresh Podcast. Now, to him who was able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.